Today on Real Radio.
Isn't church for all those holy people? No. Church is for the unholy people who want to know a holy God, who want to have a new life, who want to say to Him, God, I'm sorry for my life, I'm sorry for my sin.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give You my praise. My heart is in Your hands, let me feel Your touch. Lord, I live for Your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at chapter 17, in a section that conveys the account of the Messiah passing near a colony of lepers. The passage tells of how He reacted when these lepers asked for mercy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called, Say Thank You.
When they call out for mercy, notice they didn't ask Him to heal them. Isn't that a fact? They didn't say, cleanse us, heal us, send help. What did they say? Have mercy on us. I think you've heard this story before. Napoleon, he had found out in a certain French village that there was a traitor in the village. And they found out who the traitor was. And they brought him out, and they were going to have his head cut off with the guillotine. He's a traitor. An enemy of France. And his mother, this young man's mother, threw herself on the boy's body and says, General Napoleon, Emperor Napoleon, mercy, mercy for my son. And Napoleon said, get her out of the way and kill him now. He's a traitor to France. And she's screaming, mercy, mercy. And Napoleon said, don't you understand? He's committed treason against France, and he must die. Justice demands he dies. And the mother paused, and she said, General Napoleon, I didn't ask for justice. I'm asking you for mercy. Maybe justice yelled out and said to these 10 men, you're dead. Maybe justice says to you and I, you're dead. Maybe you're caught up in all kinds of bizarre sexual things, and maybe it's adultery or homosexuality or whatever, fill in the blank, and the world is saying, you're dead. And Jesus is saying, it ain't over till it's over. And Jesus is reaching out to every one of us right now, and He's offering this mercy. And these guys needed mercy. They wanted mercy, and they knew what to ask for. Thank God for these guys. We can learn a lot from them. They knew what to ask for. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. But look at this, verse 13, they lifted up their voices. I love it. Their leper lips. Their leper lips. And they cry out. And I love it. Do you think they care about what people think about them? Shh, come on, man, you're shouting a little too loud. I mean, keep it down, will you? Oh, no. They're loud. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They're desperate. This morning, are you desperate for God? Amen. Are you hungry for Him? He knows our needs. Secondly, look at this. He tells us what to do. It's best we obey Him. He knows. Will you trust Him enough? This morning in the early hours, you could hear the fire truck clicking its, whatever its clicker button thing is. He wasn't turning on the sirens, but he was going, eh. And you could hear them in the distance speaking. Can you imagine walking out there? What are you saying? Evacuate, fire. Well, and you want to get into a debate with them. You want to get into a talk. Well, let's talk about that. What do you as a fireman, how do you define the word fire? Nobody would do that. Jesus is going to say something. And people stand around today, they're leprous white. They're contaminated with sin. And they go, now, what do you mean by that? Jesus, we're going to go to your Bible. We're going to look at it. We're going to redefine it. We're going to change it. We're going to tell you, God, what it means. You can play that game all you want. That doesn't change the existence that he is real and that his word is true, and life goes a lot better with him. And he says, verse 14, go show yourself to the priest. Stop right there. Amazing. The Bible says in the day of the leper's cleansing or healing, he's to go to the priest. You got 10 lepers. Jesus said, go to the priest. Are you with me, everyone? Are you awake? Yes. This makes no sense to me. You can study it. Go home, look at it later, read it. It makes no sense. These guys are full of leprosy, and Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. That doesn't make any sense to me. You ever have that situation going on in your life when God says, trust me, and you give him 1,000 reasons why you should not trust him? And we lose every time. Have you ever debated with God and argued with God? You know why it doesn't make any sense to me? Because these guys are still white with leprosy. They're still toxic. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Do you realize what kind of faith it takes? They're looking at their stinky, fallen off, nibbled fingers, ghost-like faces, wrapped up like in shrouds. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And one of those 10 guys, or maybe all of them, church, if you don't get anything out of this message, get this. One of those guys said, let's go. They began to walk. They not only began to walk, according to the construction of this language, they walked away from Jesus towards the temple. We know also that 9 of them were Jewish and 1 of them was a Samaritan. You see, I thought Samaritans and Jews don't get along. They don't. One's a pure breed, one's a half breed. Samaritans are half-breeds. Jews and Samaritans have no conversation with one another. Do you remember why when Jesus went to Jacob's well, who was there? A Samaritan woman. And she said, how is it that you being a Jew are talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Because she needed salvation. And so these guys are heading to the temple. Now, according to the Bible, they've been banned from going to temple. They can't go to temple. They can't be around people except other lepers. So they're on their way. But they could have said, excuse me, Jesus, we've heard about you. And all the ministry and the stuff that you've done, we've heard about you. And we even heard that you were coming our way. But you're asking us to go to the temple? Makes no sense. I'm asking you today, church, when you leave this building today, go make a difference in the world. How can I make a difference? Just like a leper possibly saying, how can I go to the temple? The temple's over there. It's right over there. Jesus said, go. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, oh God, please speak to me, Lord. Give me a word. Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want to know you, God. I want to have your direction in my life. Do you know what his direction is? Go. Go. And these guys get up and they go. And I'm wondering what's in their mind. What would have been in your mind? Are we going? Yeah, we're going. How are you feeling? I'm feeling the same way I've always felt. Oh, there went your finger. And all of a sudden, as they're going, because they could have had all kinds of arguments about, this is ridiculous. We are 10 lepers. We are 10 sinners. We are 10 failures on our way to church. Isn't church for all those holy people? No. Church is for the unholy people who want to know a holy God, who want to have a new life, who want to say to him, God, I'm sorry for my life. I'm sorry for my sin. And when we say, I'm sorry, God says, all right, now. In their act of obedience to Christ, there's a lot going on emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in the hearts and lives of these people, and they're on their way. Look at verse 14. We know that the Lord is aware because he does what's best. It says, verse 14, and so it was, don't you love it? As they went, they were cleansed. Not healed, cleansed. In leprosy, you have to be cleansed before you're healed. Same thing is true for sin. You're not healed of sin. Brother, let me pray for you that God would heal you of this sin of, oh, no, no, no. You're not healed of a sin of. You're cleansed from sin. Once you're cleansed from sin, you're healed. As they went, they were healed. Can you imagine, like, one of these guys are walking along. Look, they're going along. These guys are walking along. They're walking. And the one guy just can't take it. And he's walking along and he goes, oh my. He's looking at his digits. Look at my hands. Maybe one of them pulled down their veil. Look at your nose. You've got your nose back. Dude, your nose is on your face. Let me see your ears. Yep. Whoa. Look at, we look like we got baby skin. One of them peaked. God had done a work. He always knows what's best for us, always. We don't understand it. Third point, verses 15 to 16, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, I wish if I were in this group, I want to be this guy. I want to be him. One of them. He can't take it. He takes a peek, and when he saw that he was healed, he returned 180 degrees. And with a loud voice, glorified God. Watch it. Verse 16, fell down on his face at his feet, that's Jesus' feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The word means he was the Samaritan out of the group of 10. One of them was an unworthy Samaritan. Verse 15 teaches us this, that the Lord alone is worthy of our praise. Do you guys all know what praise is? Sometimes I wonder, because here's the thing. You can't, it's impossible to praise the Lord. Do I have your attention? It's impossible to praise the Lord when you complain. Can't do it. Praise is different than worship. For example, you've come here today and you have determined to come. Worship's premeditated. I am going to go gather with God's people. I am going to worship. I am going to worship God. That's worship. Praise is what happens to you and I spontaneously. You might be walking down the street and something's going on, or you hear some good news or whatever it might be, or you see that sunset, or God puts out that fire, and you go, hallelujah, awesome, thank you, Lord, praise the Lord, yes, woo! That's praise. It just causes you're affected right then and there, and you begin to praise the Lord. Now, look, I know that in a group of this size, there's non-Christians here, or they're like, praise the Lord and hallelujah and what is that? That's Christianese. We're guilty of Christianese. We have our own talk. It's like this. How you doing? Waiting on the Lord. You know, people hear us in the store. Waiting. Excuse me. Waiting on the Lord. What does that mean? Oh, hallelujah, brother. Praise the Lord. What are you saying? The world does not understand it. We understand each other. The world doesn't get it. And they can't get that kind of, they don't understand that. But friends, church, when we begin to tell people, you know what, and the world wants to hear it because they're hurting. You know what, you tell them. And we just can't say things like this. I'm just praising the Lord. Now, I appreciate when I hear that in our context, but when we leave these walls and somebody says, hey, how are you, buddy? All right, praising the Lord. They think, what a nut. They don't know what it means. We need to explain to them what it means. These guys were affected immediately. This man was touched by God, and instantly he begins to praise the Lord. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, loudly glorified God. Secondly, he's worthy of our thanks. I love this. I tell you, get your pen out because this will just blow your mind. Verse 16, look at it says. He says that the man there, he fell down on his face. You know what that means? It means he fell flat on his face. He planted his face down into the ground. He went face first. But it gets better. Do you see the word at his feet? You see the capital H in your Bible? That's Jesus' feet. You see the word at? It's not the word at. It's on. The guy goes like this. I need your attention. Look at me. The guy goes like this. He's going along, and he plants his face onto the feet of Jesus. First of all, the guy's unclean. He's not supposed to touch anybody. But now he's clean. Because as he went in obedience to Christ, he's been made whole. He takes his face and he plants it onto the feet of Jesus. Whose feet, I might add, will be crucified for this man's sins not many days from this moment, and for your sins. I love how graphic the Bible is. This guy is completely without shame in love with this Jesus who just touched his life. None of it makes sense. It's all very unorthodox the way it all came about. And you think he cares? Wait a minute. Jesus said, go to the temple and show yourself to the priest. Did the guy do that? He started to, but he had to turn around. Can you imagine? Let's go. And this one guy said, I can't take this. The temple can wait. I'm going to go back to him. And you go back to him. Plant your face at his feet. Because he alone is worthy of our thanks. And then look at this. Because the Lord is worthy, he's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. When the Bible says here, and we don't get it because we live here in California, we don't get it. When the Bible says that this man was a Samaritan, I'm telling you right now, if I read this verse in Israel, right now today in the 21st century, a Samaritan, ha, that's ridiculous. Samaritans are unworthy of salvation. Samaritans are half-breeds. Samaritans are mutts. He is worthy of worship and praise and thanks by all of us. The very people who are angry at us, and trust me, they would kill us if they get a chance. Protesting all of this violence that's going on, they have no idea that we love them. They have no idea that we love them. If they were hurt, bleeding, injured, the world has become so fragile, so ignorant, so blind, that if you stand for something that others don't stand for, you are somehow unworthy of the courtesies of human life. If Adolf Hitler was here today, would we hate what he's done? Absolutely. Would we like to see him hang for what he's done? Absolutely. But if he was bleeding, we would bind him up. The American soldier around the world, when the enemy's injured, we send our medics out in harm's way and rescue the very maniac that's trying to kill us. That is the Judeo-Christian value found in the Bible, my friend. You don't learn that anywhere else on the planet. Jesus could have said, you know what, that village, it's out of the way. Those lepers, they stink. Love compels, drives. Fourth, we'll end with this, verses 17 to 19. Say thank you because the Lord is salvation on the count of three. Can I hear it? One, two, three. Thank you because the Lord is our salvation. This is very awesome. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That's kind of sad, isn't it? By the way, this is normal. Isn't there a lot of people? Yeah. Call a prayer meeting. Where are the 9? Isn't there a lot of people that attend this church? Yeah. But call a day of effort to do this or that. Where are the 9? It's just human nature. Jesus says, wasn't all of you guys cleansed? Yeah. Where are the 9? You know what it means? It means that by nature, we should be people who see clear enough to thank God in all things. Here's what we do. But I'm not going to say thank you because I don't feel like saying thank you because it just didn't go my way today. And so he says in verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Are you telling me that the Samaritan who's an outcast, rejected, this guy's not only a leper, he's a Samaritan, and he comes and says, thanks? This is the guy? Jesus turns to him. Three things. One, the Lord reaches out to everyone. Make no mistake about it. Were there not 10 cleansed? God reaches out to everyone. You're not excluded. Number two, he reaches out to one, this man, this foreigner, this Samaritan. And then look, finally, look what he says. He reaches out to you and I personally. He says to the man, verse 19, arise. The word is what Jesus said to the dead. Arise. Talithikumi. Arise, little one. Come back to life. Arise. Hey, leper, wrapped up in clothes, stinky, worn out clothing, left for dead, abandoned by your family, no way touch anybody forever, dead man walking, arise. That's awesome. Number two, go your way. Go home. That's what I'm going to say to you in about a minute and a half. Go home. And you're to go home different. You're to go home today thankful. Why? Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Don't miss it. Oh, I see. The guy got cleansed because he had faith in Jesus, and that's how he got healed. Nope. Impossible for it to be translated that way. Guess what? How many, listen, class, how many people were healed? 10. One returned and gave thanks to the Lord. This one alone receives the words from Jesus, go, you're saved. You have received salvation. Go. And what about the other nine? We don't know. But we know this about the one guy. He experienced salvation. When Jesus says, your faith has made you well, it's not your faith made you feel better. The faith that you've put in Christ, this is the faith that has set you free. Charles Spurgeon, if you don't know who Charles Spurgeon is, you need to read Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, this is kind of a harsh statement, but maybe he's exactly accurate. If you have an issue with this, call up Charles Spurgeon. He's only been dead for about 200 years, so. Charles Spurgeon said that he doesn't think it's humanly possible for a true Christian to be unthankful. Spurgeon says that it's one of the hallmarks of a true believer is that they're thankful people, which makes them different in the world. They're thankful. They're not complainers. They're thankful. They have a new nature. What is it? They're thankful. Thank you, God. What are we going home to today? I don't know. But are we not commanded to be thankful? You will choose today to be thankful or not.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called Say Thank You. It's a look at a section in Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 17, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, if you haven't logged on to realradioactive.org lately, we invite you to pay us a visit. You'll find our newly formatted website easy to navigate. Just point and click for podcasts, MP3s, recent broadcasts of Real Radio. We have resources, special offers, even local events in Southern California, our nation, and beyond that affect us all as believers. The new realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.